If you're visiting Calvary Chapel for the first time, we welcome you in the name of the Lord, and we want to let you know up front that things are a little different this morning, and that we've just completed a trip to Russia. It was, I think, our fifth trip as a team to Russia, as a church. That trip was July 16th to the 28th, and with that trip, there were some 68 people from this fellowship who went. And each of them paying their own way, or some of them, as you'll hear, might have had their way covered for them. But going on a missions venture for 2 weeks to St. Petersburg, Russia, where we planted a church in April of last year. And we've been going to Russia since the fall of 92. God's been doing great things. In fact, I was on a phone call with Calvary Costa Mesa the other day, just before I left on my vacation. And the guy asked me on the phone, "Man, what are you guys doing out there? God's blessing, things are happening, and we're really excited for you, and we're happy to hear it." And my immediate response was, "It's because of Russia." I mean, it's like pull the string, like Mr. CNC toys or whatever it is. It's because of Russia. And specifically, it's because of missions. And this body is committed to missions, and it's exciting to hear what God's doing. And you're going to hear in a moment from the hearts of a few that have gone. But the Lord has chosen this fellowship to do some neat things with, and we're happy to be used by Him. One thing I want to share with you is last February when I was there, we were securing some facilities, and I was meeting with our people there, and it was heavy upon my heart to tell them, you know what, we need to be ready to get the Western support by manpower out so that this church can stand on their own feet, probably by September sometime. And that seemed like a radically too close of a time to do that, but I just felt strong to say that. And about a month later, Mark called me, and he said, "Man, I really am excited, and yeah, we need to be getting ready." Well, lo and behold, the Lord was raising up a national pastor right underneath the ministry there. His name is Paul, and God is using him. He's an extremely mature man, though he's only been saved about a year and a half. He's got an amazing knowledge of the Word. And as the Copples and Christy and April, who has recently come back, have come out of Russia, we are leaving a great ministry there intact, and it's the ministry that you started. And that's so exciting. And we're very happy about that. And so somebody has asked me, with the recent situations in Russia, are we going to keep going to Russia? The answer is yes, as long as we possibly can. When it becomes illegal for us to take the gospel to Russia, we'll do what's being done in China. Alan Cecil, your missionaries in China, they've set up a tourist business. And it's a guise, actually. It's a front. Because what we do is get Bibles and materials and tapes smuggled through into communist China, all stamped and delivered as through a travel agency, because it's illegal. You get caught with the Bible in China. If you're Chinese, you get imprisoned or you get tortured or even killed. If you're a Westerner, you get immediately turned around and sent out. The open door to Russia has been wonderful, and we've enjoyed it for several years. That door is now changing. And just last week, the United States State Department issued a warning to all Westerners in St. Petersburg and Moscow to leave the city because of actual threats. Now, we've been telling you a long time that God could be closing the doors. If God closes the doors, it's God's business. But we're going to continue to do the work in Russia until we are no longer able. So I hope everybody understands that. We are a mission-minded fellowship. And you're going to be hearing from the hearts and minds of people who have been just recently. I'm going to ask Ben Christofferson and Randy Christofferson to come up forward, if they would right now, just kind of stand behind me. Jim McDaniels, David Ostapek, Ruth Parent, Mike Reed, and Allison Welsh, if they would come forward. And I want to tell you, as they're coming, you're going to hear from them, but this is just a fragment of the size of the group, and each service we've had different people share. So we want you to listen up, but before they speak, I want you to hear this. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, concerning the little church that he was just getting ready to leave, he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And then over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, Jesus says there, after really the rich young ruler came and asked him some questions about how to get to heaven, he had all of these things done in his life, but yet he was wealthy. And it's not that if you're wealthy, it doesn't mean you can't get to heaven. It means if you love your wealth, you'll have a hard time getting there. Jesus says, listen, young man, go sell all that you have and come and follow me. But that man went away sorrowful. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he told them something very important. Because Peter had said, Lord, if the rich can't be saved, who can be? Isn't that a funny concept he had? And Jesus said, these things are impossible with men, but with God, all things are possible. And Peter says, well, Lord, what are we going to get? Because we've left our nets, we've left our businesses, we've come to follow you. What do we get? Good old Peter, exposing what's usually in our hearts. What's in it for me? You know. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left their house or their parents, or who has left their brothers or their wives or their children for the sake of the kingdom, who shall not receive many times more in this present age and in the age to come everlasting life. The greatest thing that we can do as Christians, and if you're a Christian this morning, if you're a committed believer, is to get the word out. It's to your children, it's to your neighbor, or it's to those around the world. And so we're going to hear from some people right now who have gone, and I'm going to ask you guys to try to keep it around 3 to 5 minutes. And there's a big light back there. They're going to flash on you if you go too long over. But anyway, it's okay. They're used to seeing me bumble up here. And if you're nervous, well, then you'll have mercy on me on Sundays and Wednesdays. So think about that. So, Alice, why don't you come up and share? See, what look at what I'm telling you. There you go.
I want to tell you, first of all, that I was incredibly blessed to be part of this trip. There was nothing about this trip that was within my comfort zone at all, from especially flying. That was my first hurdle to get over there when I got there. I was away from my family for 2 weeks. And then street witnessing, I just thought for sure I could get out there and do that. And I got out on the street and realized I couldn't do it at all. And then flying back home, and then I thought I was home free, and I heard I was going to have to do this. So another stretching moment. one of the things that, one of the scriptures that Jack gave us was Jeremiah 1, way back when we started praying about this, and that was that the Lord would give us the words. And he did. He was so faithful over there. We'd get out there and try to, the hardest thing was striking up a conversation with somebody. And we would start the conversation, and the Lord just spoke. He brought scripture to mind, or brought a person up next to me that would give me the scripture. It was incredible to watch. We'd go back later and just go, wow, I can't believe that I even said that. During all the stretching, there was a lot of painful things to see. One of the things that really hit me hard were the elderly. I really, really had a tough time with that. Many of them were homeless and so poor. There was one lady, Maria, that came up to our hotel, and Karen Wade and I were sharing with her, and she said she'd been an orphan since she was 3. She was 83 years old, and she just started crying. She was homeless. She had no income. She went begging. They would collect bottles in the marketplace. They would get 200 rubles for these bottles and turn back in so they'd get their bread and food and such. And they just roamed around, and they'd have all these coats on, and I guess everything they owned was on them, and it was just tragic. And they really felt alone and lost, and they felt like the Lord had turned his back on them. The people, just keep walking by these elderly people. They'd be in the metros begging for money, and I would you can't give them all money, and I don't know if that would do any good anyway. But it just breaks your heart to see them. And then just the people in general would, in the metro, one of the things that really hit me was when you go down the metro, on this escalator that is like just so fast, it's incredible, it's a blast. And the other side is going the opposite direction. And you'd look at these Russian people, and they were no smiles, no talking, and they were just stone-faced. And the one thing that hit me was their eyes. There was no hope in their eyes, and they would just stare at you or just stare straight ahead as they go down this escalator. It was the same way on the metro cars or trains or whatever. they didn't speak. They were just void, and I just felt they were just so hopeless. We really needed to wished we could reach everybody that we saw and come in contact with. It was a very difficult trip for me because there was so much stretching. On one hand, I wanted to go. On the other hand, I didn't want to go. But it was also an incredible blessing. The Lord also blessed me by allowing me to have an absolute blast. I fell in love with that city. I love the metro. I love the food. I love the people. Just everything about it. And if it weren't for flying, I'd be the first one in line to say, I'm ready to go again. But also the team that we went with, the people here are so awesome. God allowed me to get closer to people that I know, get to know people that I didn't know at all, and get closer with those that I was already close with. We serve an awesome God, and when you're serving side by side with other people who feel the same way and love the Lord, it's an incredible experience. I'd really encourage you all to pray about the next mission trip, wherever it is or whenever it is, to be part of that in some way, whether it be prayer or sending or going yourself. It's a real blessing. Thank you.
I was really blessed to be able to go on this trip. I just thank God that I was able to go and that He used me. And I'm sure a lot of people in this behind me are going to talk about a lot of their experiences, and a lot of people in the other services did the same. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to thank the prayer team that prayed for us throughout the 2 weeks while we were there. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And we had two prayer teams praying for us during this trip, and I feel that the reason why God blessed us so much is because of their prayers. And I know a lot of people struggled with the prayer team. I was on it before, you know, when the other teams went. This is my first time going to Russia, and I struggled on it, the prayer chain. I know people struggled this time, but I just thank you and praise you. Thank you so much for praying for us, because it blessed us really. It blessed us a lot. And I'm going to share another scripture. It's in Psalm 145, verse 3. It says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable or beyond our understanding." And the Lord gave me that verse when I got home, and I couldn't believe it, because I saw so many great things that the Lord did over there. We were on the streets. People were accepting the Lord on the streets. People were accepting the Lord at church. The church body was growing. Pastor Paul, have you heard about? He was being exhorted. And it was just a blessing. I just attribute a lot of that to your prayers. And I read this verse. It says, "His Lord's greatness is unsearchable. It's beyond our understanding. And it's so much more than we even think it is. We just can't even know it." And so that blessed me a lot. I want to exhort this whole church body, and especially the prayer team, to continue praying for the Russian people. They really need your prayers. I don't know if the doors are closing or not. They seem to be. I don't know if we're going to be able to go there anymore or not. And I don't know. You just need to pray for them. Just pray that the Lord gives them strength, that they may have a walk worthy of the Lord. And one scripture that comes to mind is Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. I'm not going to read all that, but that's just an awesome couple of verses there that Paul gives out. And so I'd just like to encourage you to pray for those people. And I just like to thank everyone that prayed for us on the trip. We had two prayer chains. Like 120 people prayed for us around the clock. And we told the Russians that, and that just blew them away. They couldn't believe it, that someone was praying for us every single minute of the day. And so I don't know everyone that prayed for on the prayer team, but the Lord knows you, and I pray that He'll bless you for it. Thank you. God bless you.
I'm really nervous right now. Well, I don't know. I just want to thank everybody who just supported with this ministry with prayer and with money and stuff. You guys paid for the tracks and all the stuff, and just for people to go. And if you don't think it's worth it, it was. It was really worth it, all your prayer. Because, I mean, the prayer is probably, like, a lot, is the most necessary thing. Because when I was in Arizona with the youth group, we're just getting, when there's nobody back behind the scenes praying, we're getting thrashed. But when there's people, you know, back there praying, we're just, like, just, it was, everything was good. So I just want to thank for the prayer. And, I don't know, everything else. This was just an awesome experience for me. Just met really awesome, nice people. They're just, you just make friends with them. You can't even speak their language. You can't, you go, there's this guy, Misha, that I met. Like, all I could ever say to him was, "Hey, Misha." And we're like cool friends and stuff. Like, we're just like play hacky sack and just kick the ball around all the time. And whenever I didn't have a translator, I'd just go, "Hey, Misha, come here." And he'll understand that. And he would like just start witnessing to the person for, you know, just like, cause you can't say nothing to him cause speak a different language. And, I don't know, this was just, it was an awesome time. Just got to meet people even from our church that I never knew, that were just rad people that just encouraged me and helped me out a lot. And like, some, if there wasn't for like our team leader Rick and my dad, like I'd probably still be like lost over there. some metro stop. Well, actually I wouldn't mind that. Those metros are a lot of fun and they're just great. But some things that I saw that just, you know, there are little things I saw like that just totally showed me that the Lord was in it, that the Lord was working in it. Was one thing was it just seemed these guys, John Miller and Danny Cruz and Brett Williams and Bruce Baumgartner and Shelley, they sung all day long, play guitar for just hours and hours every day, and yet their voices didn't even start to go out, and I hardly talked the whole time, and I lost my voice. I went to go up to the microphone once and speak, like, to explain this play that we did, and I couldn't even hear myself when I was in the microphone. Like, it was crazy. I don't know, just thank for the prayer. Well, it was just a good time, and just, I love it, and I want to go back. And, you know, if you you think, wow, those people are up there on stage, and they got to go halfway around the world, and I don't get to do nothing. I can't, God won't use me. Don't even think that, because I'm no more special than you. No one up here is more special than you. It's just, you know, God use them. God will use you. Just like, if you hear of something to do, like a ministry or a mission, just start praying about it. Start finding out more about it and just seeking God about it. Just whatever you want to do, just seek God. And He'll bless it if you just seek Him and be in His Word. And that's it. Thanks.
I'd just like to say that's my son, Ben, and I'm really proud of him. He's made quite a commitment to the Lord, and I'm really, really proud of him. There was a lot of young people on this trip, and I was really impressed and at their commitments, the commitments that they made to go and to serve and how they handled themselves over there, you know, while they were serving. It's just a real, I think, testimony to the children's ministry here and the youth, the teen ministry, Edmund and Martha, how they've really done such a great job with these kids. But anyway, the first thing I had to get over on going to Russia was the money, as far as paying for it. Ben had signed up early on, and then when we were in the study of Acts, Jack had one weekend towards the end of the sign-up said, you need to sign up to find out whether you're supposed to be a goer or a sender. And I was fairly sure that I was going to be a sender because I was going to send Ben over there, and so I thought I'd sign up, go ahead and sign up, and then I'd find out that, yes, I was supposed to send Ben. Well, it turned out that I ended up going after lots of prayer and deliberation on that, and so somehow I overcame the money end of it and got going, and before we left at the airport, Jack told us that if you're here and you're on this trip, you are in God's perfect will. And I thought, well, that's great. That's great to be in God's perfect will. I think everybody wants to do that. And so that was but the trip was a real blessing to me. I don't know if anybody was blessed by me being there, but I was certainly blessed over there. I just was able to meet and work with some great people from this fellowship. Everybody was always willing to pitch in when we had some work to do, then we were able to meet some really great Russian people from, and especially those from the parish over there, just some really super people. It's just exciting to know that you can go halfway around the world, and even though you can't speak their language, you can find people that you really know there. But I really was blessed by the trip and the musicians and the whole group, and love the city of St. Petersburg and love the people of St. Petersburg. Hope to get to go back again.
Hi, my name is Jim McDaniels, and ever since my wife went in 1983, I really wanted to go, but every time it came to signing up, I would just be gripped with fear because, you know, I was afraid, you know, the Lord wouldn't supply the money or I wouldn't get the time off work. And then just being really afraid of, you know, sharing with these people and just being gripped with fear. And the Lord just really did a neat work this time because I had all those same fears and I signed up, and then I thought, no, I'm not even going to go to the meetings. You know, I'm not supposed to go. I know I'm not supposed to go. And, the Lord, I just kept praying, and the Lord just kept pushing me in that direction, and then we didn't have the money, and then the Lord supplied the money, and it's like, well, okay, Lord, but, you know, I don't know still. And so I didn't have my passport, and so I started scrambling to try to get my passport, and normally it takes like 6 weeks, 6 to 10 weeks to get it. Well, it came back in 3 weeks, and I just said, well, okay, Lord. And it was just really awesome. Probably the thing that the Lord did for me was that he took me out of my comfort zone, and I'm like everybody else, that I like my comfort zone, and you don't want to do things that are out of it. And the Lord just really pushed me out of it, and he just caused me to do just a lot of things that normally I wouldn't do, but that the Lord was really wanting me to do. And so it was really neat. I had a great time with sharing with the people and just meeting, you know, a lot of the people over there in the fellowship and Pastor Paul, and just getting to fellowship with the couples again. And the Lord just really did a tremendous work. And so I would really exhort everybody that in whatever thing, in the call or whatever other mission venture that we're going to be involved in, just to trust in the Lord and just to go out of that comfort zone. It's hard and it's scary, but the Lord, he'll do it. He'll carry you along. And so I just want to thank everybody who also was on a prayer chain. That was just so awesome. You could just feel it every day. You could feel it. And every day and every night, when you went to bed at night, you would know that there was people praying for you. And it's just totally awesome. So I just want to thank you.
Hi, my name is Ruth Parent. And a year ago, I started coming to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and I'd never wanted to do missions before. I just said, oh, that's not me. Don't want to do it. And I came here, and the trip was just leaving for the Russia trip. And I sat there and said, gosh, I want to do this. And I was really surprised because I was saying that. And then God just put this desire in my heart to go to Russia. And then I sat there and said, there's no way I can do this. I can't go. I don't have the money. I can't get away from work. I don't know how to witness. There's just no way. And I was talking to friends, and they just said that you need to sign up and go and just see what God does. And as soon as I signed up and started going to the meetings, God just opened the doors and just basically said, you're going. Within like 3 weeks, he gave me all the money and just opened every door that could possibly have been shut. So I went, and I was so blessed. I was blessed by the people in Russia. They just gave you so much love. I couldn't even talk to them, and they would just come up, and they would hug you, and they would love you. I was blessed by the body there. They loved me so much. It just overwhelmed me at times. And then I was able to witness. God would just put words in my mouth that I didn't know were there, and I would stand back, and I'd be surprised that I even said that. And I just saw lives change that I never really thought that I would see. And since I came back, God has done so many things in my life. He's been using me in ways that he wouldn't have been able to use me if I had not gone to Russia. He's brought me to Russian people since I've come home, and I've shared with them, and I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't gone. So I would really like to encourage you that just to sign up, to pray about it, to pray for Russia, to pray for how God can use you, because he can do mighty things through you if you're willing to let him. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mike Reed. Well, there's a lot of things I'd love to tell you about Russia. I could bore you for hours easily, but I won't. The main thing I want to just say is that I just thank the Lord so much that he's brought me to this fellowship where you people have such a heart to share with the unsaved and with people around the world. For 2 weeks, the people in the red shirts were the hands and the feet and the mouth, but the heart was still here in Chino Hills, and if you weren't there to send us, we couldn't go. When Randy was wondering if he was blessed, or he blessed anyone by going, but I can guarantee he did. God gifted him with superhuman strength and moving equipment. And he, day after day, night after night, he saved me a lot of work. But, it's in a lot of ways, it's easy to go to St. Petersburg. And because it's exciting. It's a blessing to us. And we're seeing the fruit right there. It's instant, and you just know you're in the center of God's will. The harder side is to stay home and support us with prayer and, just your faithfulness in giving and just the heart to send, and that's so important. But if you can go, I definitely recommend it because, like I said, it was a really huge blessing to me. Through the whole trip and really through the latter part of my life, God's been trying to give to me an eternal perspective and not, worrying so much about this world and things like that. I always tell most of the people that know me know that I always say that, some people hear God's still small voice, but God's kind of got to hit me upside the head to get me to understand. And this morning, my 2-day-old car was gone when I came to church, so that was a slap upside the head, and maybe I'm just now getting it, but the things that are important are the things that we're doing as a body, and that's turning people to the Lord and raising up disciples, and there's nothing more important than that. As a little safety measure for myself, 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." And one thing I love about Calvary is we work really hard not to esteem anyone else above anyone else. But there's several people here that deserve double honor, and Pastor Jack, of course, is one. I saw his heart in Russia, even more so than here. He was willing to do the hard things, that most people wouldn't want to do, the uncomfortable things way out of our comfort zone. And he was just so faithful to what the Lord had led him to do that it kept us all going. And he kept a a foot in our rear when we needed it. And having said that, I can probably be sure that he won't make me come up here again. Anyway, the church in Russia is in desperate need of your prayers and in need of your support. And the Russian saints, wonderful people, but they're few. With the blessing of God and our prayers, they can be strong in their weakness. Thanks.
One thing that you need to understand is these guys, all of them, the team of 68 from here, not to mention those that joined us from Calvary Chapel Indio in Tucson, what you need to realize is that for those who did not have their finances provided for them, the bulk of them got their money out of maybe their vacation money or their Christmas money or whatever, and they went, not only supporting themselves to go, but they took their vacation time for the year. And when the Russian people saw that, there were many times on the streets where I encountered people who said, "Who sent you guys here anyway?" And I said, "Well, they sent themselves." "Oh, I don't believe it." "Well, why don't you go ask them?" And I was having a lot of fun of just grabbing people and saying, "Hey, come here. How'd you get here? Tell him. Tell this guy right here." And, well, I paid my own way. And when a Russian hears that somebody paid $1,800 to go there for 2 weeks and live like we lived, we don't stay at the Astoria where George Bush stays or at the Europa where, you know, Bill Clinton has stayed. We stay like the Russians stay. And when they find out where we're staying, they'll ask us, "Where are you guys staying?" "Well, we're at the Vibrokskaya. Or we're at the Druze Bar, or whatever," and it's, "Well, you guys are staying there." They get really impressed with that because we're living like they live. And it helps us to be able to give them the gospel because they realize, man, these people are for real. And when you show them your family, you got your pictures, and you show them your kids and your family at home, and when you being an American, now listen carefully, there are people there sharing the gospel from England and people sharing the gospel there from Denmark, and they're grateful, and we're grateful that they're there. But when an American is there sharing the gospel, they just go bananas. Somebody mentioned the first and second services today that they had Russians kiss their hand and hold them and want to stand close to them. That sounds silly to you. But not in Russia. They're very affectionate people. You'll see two men walking down the street holding hands, talking. And same with women. It's just the way, it's cultural. It's the way they are. But when they find out that you went over there, or somebody in this fellowship sent a couple or a person or whatever there, they can't handle that. And that's when all the guards come down. I want to share this little story that happened to me. Is a man came up to me, and he said, "I've heard what you've been saying out there. It's all a bunch of trash." And I said, "Well," and you know my favorite question in the whole world is, "Why?" My mom used to curse me for asking why, and I haven't lost it at all. "Why? Well, what do you mean? Well, why is it such a bummer to you? Why is it a waste of time?" And that always throws people off because you have to give a defense for your opening up your mouth. You make a statement, now back it up. So he began to say, "Well, you know what? All you guys have all these things going on in your life. I mean, look at you. You're over here, and then somebody probably sent you here, and you're probably staying at some incredible hotel." And, "Well, no, we're not. And no, no one has sent us here." And that kind of set him back on his heels. And then he said, "Well," and he went right for the chase. He went, "Well, I don't need really what you're presenting here because I need happiness." And I said, "Well," I said, "why don't you kind of look around at these people in red shirts? Tell me, what do you think? Look at them. Look at them right now. Look at this guy's over there and these girls over here. What do you think?" "Well, I don't know." I go, "Well, do they look unhappy?" "Well, no, they certainly don't look unhappy." I said, "Well, you know what? I want to offer something to you that's more than happiness." I said, "You know, happiness is an emotion that is based upon what's happening. If things are happening good, then you are happy. If things are happening that are bad, you are unhappy." And I said, "You know, you can have something better than happiness, and it's called joy. He couldn't fathom joy. I told him that you could be in a horrible situation. Mike just talked about his two-day-old car getting ripped off. How can he smile about that? Well, he's got the joy of the Lord. If it's happiness, well then, your life is only happy as long as things are happy. You're only riding high as long as the checks are flowing in and the wife and you are getting along and the kids are doing good. You see, there's something beyond all that. It's called joy. And I told that man. And he said, I don't believe someone can have such a thing. I said, well, Jesus said that my joy, my peace, I give to you. Not like the world gives, but I give it to you, Jesus says. I don't believe it. So he goes, points his finger to me and says, you have joy, happiness, because you are from America. If I was from America, I would be happy too. I would have this joy. And I was not about to put down America. I've been there more times to find out to know. You never put down America in Russia. They'll take your tongue out and give it back to you. You don't ever curse Russia, and you never curse America to a Russian. They love and they respect this country. And I just said, well, I tell you what. And I grabbed Anna, or Anya. If Anya, and Lord willing, she'll be here, we're trying to get her here. If you've seen Anya, you would think that this beautiful, fair-skinned, blue-eyed, tall, 5'7", 5'8", Russian girl, you would think she just crawled off a surfboard in Newport Beach. I mean, she looks like a surf town USA girl. And I said, Anya, come here. She came over. And I said, what happened since Jesus Christ came in your life? She was not in our conversation. She said, joy. I have joy. I have friends. I have family. Joy. And he said, but you're an American. And she goes, Nyet. No, in Russian. She begins to speak to him in Russian. And he stepped back and he was shocked. And she said, I'm from Siberia. And he went, oh. And I said, wait right here. Don't move. Dima, come over here. Come here. Actually, I didn't call his name out. I didn't want to give it away. But come on over here. And now these Russians speak perfect English. And I said, Dima, what's happened since Jesus Christ has personally come into your life? He said, man, I'm alive. Look, and he's just all pumped up. And he said, Westerner. And he said, no, my name's Dima. I'm from Moscow. I'm a Muscovite. The man went, this guy's about 56 years old. He went, no. And I said, you wait right here. And I went and got Marina, same thing. I went and got Ira, same thing. I went and got Sergey. I got this guy surrounded with translators. And he said, Westerners! And they all said, no, нет, русский. We're Russians. And that man began to weep. He began to stay close to me. He began to follow me around. And he watched everything that these people did, everything that they said. And he started coming to the services. And it was a wonderful time. This man had been seeking happiness, but there's something much greater than happiness. It's the joy of the Lord. It's incredible. It changes lives. And every one of us at one point in time were touched by someone who had the joy of the Lord in their lives. That's why we became Christians. I love the Muslim people. There are a million reasons why I would never become a Muslim. But one of them is, there's not much to be happy or joyful about. The Mormons are precious people. They're beautiful. Love them. But there's not much to be joyful about. And you can go on, and the Buddhists are precious people. And there are people even in this church sitting here right now. You may be saying, well, you know, I can get to heaven my own way, and I'll do my own thing. And you're a wonderful person, and you're beautiful, and we love you, and you're great to be around. But I'll never cash in anything for the joy that I have been given by Jesus Christ. And these people who were fearful, they came to the prayer meetings. They didn't know if they could make it. They didn't know, how can I fly that long in an airplane? Will it stay in the air that long? What are we going to do when we get there? Somebody, was it Allison who said today she liked the food? She is an interesting cook, or she likes... No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. To love the Russian food, that woman's called to share the Lord. I lived off of Twinkies and tuna. They went there because they fell in love with the people. And Lord willing, there'll be other trips. Right now, we are waiting for information to return back from Lima, Peru. It is our desire that by February, we'll be taking some sort of a contingent down to Lima, Peru. There's a Calvary Chapel that has just gotten started there, and the brother is crying out for help for people to come and evangelize the streets. So be in prayer about that. The Lord, possibly, we may wind up with another group in Prague, Czechoslovakia, so you might want to keep that in prayer too. But we took this time out from our normal study to let you guys know what's happened in just a few hearts of those who went, and we're living in exciting times. I mentioned to you earlier that the doors may be appearing to close. We believe that they are for a lot of reasons in Russia. But I want you to keep your eyes on the news. Keep your eyes on the vote that's coming up in October of 96. There are some critical political situations taking place in Russia. And those running for office are hardline communists. And listen, the satellite countries that were once of the Soviet Union, most of them now have gotten into office now, hardline communists. Is the Cold War over? I want to say this with as much respect as I can give to NBC, CBS, and Peter Jennings and all the rest of the guys. We hear a lot about, the Cold War is now over. We can let down our guard. It's not true. If you've been to Russia, you see people starving. You see people begging. You see people with PhDs and families begging bread. And yet you see a military aviator or sailor walk by on the streets and they're dressed to kill. They're decked out in their military garb. Their equipment is fantastic. And if you guys were with us on that last day, you saw some of the naval vessels pulling in to St. Petersburg out in front of the Hermitage. We saw some of the naval weaponry pulling into port there and anchoring in the river. Their military is using the Western funds that have been pumped into that nation since this so-called Cold War has ended. And they have not been giving that money to the people, nor have they been putting it into industry, and the Russians will tell you. The money has been going to a military. We simply ask the question, why? What's on the agenda? Why would they prostitute their precious people for a military might? Why the disguise of the Cold War now being over? And the answer is, according to the book of Ezekiel, and you know it well, there's going to be a very quick, very sudden, unexpected, according to Ezekiel, 2,700 years ago, Ezekiel basically tells us that Russia is going to move out of its quarters and descend down into the Middle East towards the Mediterranean Sea, and it will catch the Western world asleep. With all the world talking about Russia being basically disarmed and safe and all this stuff, the people are precious. The land is awesome. The military has an agenda, and it's the same agenda it's had for 71 years. That is God's business. He's the king over politics. The bottom line is our job is to get the gospel to the world, and that's what you're doing. And I'm blessed to be here. I was on vacation, and I thought almost heaven up at Lake Tahoe this week was incredible. I couldn't wait to get back home after 3 days. I couldn't wait to get home because I'm afraid I might miss something that's happening here. This has been a great ride. The Lord is doing neat things. And we just heard from a couple of hearts that have been touched, and it's a great time. Let's pray. Father, it's so awesome to call you Father. Lord, we come many different type of men, many different type of women. We've come from different backgrounds, different upbringings. Lord, some of us, I know in my own life, been brought up not to cry, not to be fanatical about anything, to be even keeled and to be disciplined. and to be almost militaristic in our thinking, and Lord, to consider that country often a great enemy. I was raised that way. And Lord, now to see in my life a totally different picture. Lord, there may have been some here, even like Ruth shared this morning, Lord, in a frail and humble way, her concerns and yet what God has done, what you've done with her since coming back. Father, the bottom line is that we are all people that, according to your Bible, are lost in sin. We have sinned, we've broken all of the Ten Commandments, or maybe one of them or four of them, it doesn't matter. The Bible says because we broke one of them, we're condemned forever to hell. That freaks us out. We panic. We think that's terrible until we read the rest of the sentence that says, but Jesus has come to give us everlasting life. And if we would trust in what he did on the cross, we would be delivered from our sins and given his life and joy and the Holy Spirit to live within us, that we might have power to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth, like the disciples of old. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you even more importantly for this body who has not shied away from any radical venture because they trust in you. Father, we praise you for your goodness. And we pray for the place that we've called home there in Russia. We pray for that body. We pray for Pastor Paul. And Lord, we pray that you'd give Christy Boggs and the Koppel family safe passage. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.